Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Belting, that's great. You can take your seats. So good to be with you today. Isn't it great to worship Jesus? I love that he's here with us today. That's the best bit. But I've brought you a message today that I hope will encourage you, that I hope will be really helpful to you, and you're going to go out of here beaming. Are you up for it? I'm so glad. Hey, I was watching, did you see the weather report last night? I caught it briefly last night, right? Okay, and the weather reports are so graphic these days, aren't they? Like the illustrations they put up. And all I could see was just like rain. And where the UK was, you couldn't actually see the UK at all. It was just rain over the whole of the UK, as if the UK had been swept out of the way and there was just rain where it used to be. But what I was secretly glad about was that it wasn't just rain in the north. Oh no. Do you ever think you live in the wrong part of the country? Weather-wise, and you see the weather reports, and you're looking in the northwest, and you see those clouds, and you look down to the southeast over here, and you're like, oh, it's always sunny there. Well, it's not sunny there at the moment, so I feel a little bit better about that. Do you? Great. Really good. I sometimes keep up with Farming UK. It's a publication you might have heard about, so I generally keep up with Farming UK when I'm desperate for a preaching illustration. The rest of the time, I'm not so interested in how our crops are doing. But a couple of years ago, I'm just going to have fun today, is that okay? A couple of years ago, Farming UK reported this. They reported that due to too much rain, we had the lowest wheat production in a number of years, resulting in the lowest yield since 1988, which meant that wheat prices were high. High. Not good, not good. You know, a bit of rain is good, too much rain is not good, because that means when we go to the supermarket, our bread costs more than a quid. And I never like that. I'm always looking for good quality, cheap bread, so if you've got any clues, you can come my way. But one thing, rain or not, one thing that I have learned, and I've learned this about life, and I have learned this about plants, that some conditions encourage healthy growth, and some are detrimental to growth. There is a process going on in your life, going on in my life, that is taking us from infant to adult. It is not dependent on age, but it is dependent on heart. And it's to release in us a greater capacity than we realize that we have, that is more fulfilling and greater than we could ever imagine. You know what? We might not always know how things grow. Sometimes we're a little bit clueless. But what we can do is we can recognize and we can work with environments that encourage growth. Does that make sense? We can work with those. You know, when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, often when he spoke about the kingdom of God, he would talk about something that started small and that would grow and would become big. And it says this in Mark. Mark recorded this as something that Jesus said. He recorded it in his gospel. It's chapter 4, verse 26. And it says, Jesus also said, it's on the board behind me, which is great. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Passage about a seed, some ground, some time, and growth. And there's a few points that I pull out of that that are really helpful for my life. The first is this. Growth is normal. If you put a seed in the right environment and provide it with what it needs, you don't have to be surprised that when you go a week or two later, I'm not a gardener, right? You can correct me later. If it's cress, it's pretty quick, I know that much. It's not, you won't be too surprised to see something growing, unless you're like me, who really is rubbish at planting seeds, who is very surprised when something's growing, because usually nothing happens and you're like trying to see if something ate the seed. But growth is normal. And I love how David has been speaking recently about us at Liverpool, that this is a year for the church to normalize. It's not a year of a big push. But you see, when things are healthy, when the environment is right, then growth is normal. Growth is normal. Growth is also a process. When I had my little girl, the first night when I put her to bed in her little carry cots for about an hour before she'd wake up for her next feed, I would have been awfully surprised if the next morning I'd gone to her and she was a 30-year-old woman with full verbal capacity talking about. In fact, I'd been really freaked out. Growth is a process. She's reached three. She's still got those years to come. But it would be weird if it happened too quickly, because growth is not an overnight thing. It is a process. Another thing, growth leads to maturity. It says the grain ripens and then it's harvested. You know, with our lives, God prepares us for purpose. He prepares us to be useful. Now, that process of growth brings us to a place of maturity, and it continues throughout our lives, where we can actually be helpful, useful, and have a sense of kind of satisfaction, that there is something about our lives that is more than ourselves, but fit for purpose. I think maturity is when we are fit for purpose and we arrive at that place. I've got one for the perfectionists in the room, right? Hands up. I know who you are anyway, but for the perfectionists, I love this. Growth cannot be forced. It cannot be forced. Cannot. Whether he slept or whether he awoke, this thing grew. Growth cannot be forced. Some of you need to underline that. Go away with Jesus. Have a prayer time. I'll pray for you if you like. I've had to work on that one. And the final point I draw from that is growth is mysterious. We don't understand how it happens. Now, actually, if you watch some of those documentaries on TV, have you ever seen them? Where you see the seed germinate and everything happening. Actually, we know a little bit more than they knew then about how growth happens, but there's still something mysterious about it. Paul, who was one of Jesus' followers, Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, the Corinthians, and they were arguing about who was the best disciple, who was the best apostle, which was the best pastor, which was the greatest location in Hope City Church, and they were going on and on about something like that. And Paul stops them and he says this. He said, look, guys, when it comes to the good news of the gospel, when it comes to your salvation in Jesus Christ, I may well have planted the seed. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted the seed in your hearts. I let you know about it. But Apollos, Pastor Apollos over here, apostle, disciple Apollos, he taught you a bit more. He helped you apply that to the life. He helped your faith to increase. But let me tell you this, it was God that made it grow. Therefore, all glory goes to God. But with growth, it's like this, right? It's a you thing and it's a God thing. It's a joint thing, but it cannot be forced. It's something that God gives us ability. He gives us giftings. He gives us wisdom. He speaks into our lives. And yet, there is that mysterious part. It's that bit that only God can do. Even when bringing a friend to know the good news of Jesus Christ, even when that happens, you can pray for them. You can tell them stuff. You can discuss things with them. You can tell them your story, answer questions. But that point of revelation, when the light comes on, that is a God thing. That is a mysterious thing, but it is how growth works. At Liverpool, we are praying. We are believing for growth in two particular areas, but we're working towards this as well. We are creating environments for growth. The first area is that everybody will have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't matter if you're on day one of your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're on day 980,006, if that's the proper number, doesn't matter. What we're working towards and what we're praying for is that everybody will have this growing relationship. And secondly, that the number of people who make Hope City Liverpool their home will always increase, that it will always grow, So they enter this process of a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And the overflow of that will always be impact in our communities, in our city, release of creativity, all these things. But if we've got these two things going for us, if we're working towards and believing God for growth, we're sure to see it. So how do we grow? Would you like to know? I'm going to tell you then. That's good. Well, it's a mystery. There you go. I'm finished. Sleeping or waking, get on with it. No, it's like there is a mystery to it, but we can create environments that encourage growth personally in our lives and as a church. The first one, okay, number one, Riverside Gardens. Riverside Gardens, the Meadows. That is my husband's address. Not now, we do live together in Liverpool. That's where his mammy lives. But when we were growing up, when he was growing up, we're not brother and sister. When he was growing up, rewind the tape. That's where he lived, Riverside Gardens, the Meadows. Beautiful, eh? Imagine that. What does it bring to mind? A riverside, some gardens, some meadows. Sunshine. It just sounds beautiful, doesn't it? It sounds idyllic. Riverside Gardens in the Meadows. In fact, it's probably one of the roughest council estates in Nottingham. His house is about to be knocked down because it won't stand up anymore, and often finds itself on the national news. So it's not quite like you imagine. But God talks of a river. Let's turn to it in Jeremiah chapter 17, and it's from verse 7. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he wrote this. He said, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I love that picture of our lives being like a tree planted by a river, that when there is drought, when there's not much water around, when there is heat and difficulty, that there is a constant supply for the person who trusts in God. And you know what I love? I love that Jeremiah wrote it, because if you read his story in the book of Jeremiah, what you see of Jeremiah is somebody who faced tremendous difficulty, who didn't see things to come to pass in his lifetime as he wanted them to come to pass, who saw the destruction of his city. And yet, it is him, this same person who wrote this, blessed is the one who trusts in God. Blessed is the one who puts their confidence, because even when difficulty faces our lives, there is a resource, there is a supply, there's a sustenance that we never need to be separated from. You know, when your resources are limited, when your opportunities are sparse, God has provided a river for you. When you seem to, when nothing seems to be going for you, there is something always going for the person who believes in God, a source of provision, of refreshment, of comfort, of guidance, of teaching, of empowerment. That river is always there. You know, if you want to know how to stay fresh and productive through every season of your life, through the great bits, through the middle bits, through the brief, not so good bits, hopefully. If you want to know how to stay fresh and vital, it's important to learn how to draw from God, how to draw from that river. I used to go to a camp every single year. Okay, it was like a Christian camp. And we'd, pardon? Like one. It was a Christian camp. There you go. It wasn't like one. It was very Christian, actually entirely Christian. Mostly. Anyway, so I'd go, and you'd go for this week, and you kind of go, and you'd be like, you were there for the week, and you only left site to go to Tesco's to pick up extra supplies, and then you went back to your tent, and you'd have lots of meetings and all this kind of thing. And I used to love it, actually. Really love it. But at the end of the week, when I'd go back, and we'd be like, we'd stop at the first service station or whenever we stopped, I'd go into like the magazines and stuff, and I'd be like shocked. I'd be like, I'd been in such a God bubble of righteousness and everything being lovely and only thinking about God and friendships and all of that, that, some, you know, some of those front covers of some of those magazines, they're quite shocking. But when you've been locked in a God bubble for a whole week, I tell you, you nearly fall to the floor. And I remember being so shocked. But people would say, oh, I can't wait till this camp. I can't wait till it comes because I'm feeling so dry. I'm feeling so dry. I need my week. I need my retreat. I need my God bubble for a week. And then the whole year will be okay because I'll be resourced. I'll be able to survive. Pop to church on Sundays. That'll be enough for me. But you know what? That's, in some ways, I understand what they're saying. And going to conferences like She Is Fabulous is an amazing must-do. But it is a great thing. But the truth is, God doesn't wait for your special retreat. He doesn't wait for your special week that you've booked off and cordoned off in your diary. Actually, the way we can draw from God is so simple. You know, for me, sometimes, and Dave talks about this, sometimes it's like, I'm not going on Twitter tonight. Goodbye, Twitter. Recently, you know, when I know what's going on in my world, Premier Radio is going on in my world. Dave managed to find a digital radio from somewhere, and I put my Premier Radio on, and they talk about God all day. It was like worship songs. I'm not always that kind of person. I avoid a lot of God TV, if I'm honest. But Premier Radio, I'm like, oh, I'm just doing my dishes, thinking about Jesus, joining in. I love UCB gospel as well, actually, but I can't get that where I live, just doing all the gospel songs, having me dance to my biggie. But it's keeping me in Jesus. You know, that you get some time alone with God, you chew over a scripture. Basically, the river is never going anywhere. The river's always there. What we can do is direct our roots. That's all we have to do, direct our roots into our relationship and draw from him. And it's not difficult. He doesn't make it difficult. The promise is you will never run dry. You will stay green and vital. You will stay productive when you are drawing from the right source. He makes you able to take the heat. And it's not supplied by your effort, but by his goodness. Whatever you need right now, it is in him. He is our source. He has made it that way. Whether you need wisdom, whatever you need, you draw from him and you will find he hasn't run out and he won't let me run dry. Time to direct some roots when he says, come to me, come to me. Come on, I've got some more stuff I want to show you. I've got some more stuff I want to give you. The second place where you grow is in the greenhouse. It's exciting today, isn't it? Greenhouses and rivers. The greenhouse. My granddad had a greenhouse. I loved it. Smelled great, hot in there. The scripture says this, Psalm 92, verse 12 to 13. The godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. They are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of God. I think God has a greenhouse, and I think God's greenhouse is a church. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest command? How can I do life well and how can I know God well? He said this. He said, they're like each other. Love God with all your heart and love others likewise. Love one another. When I got saved, I was okay with number one. Actually, in fact, I loved going to church and listening about how much God loved me, how much he cared about me, all the stuff he could do for me. And the response in my heart was, you know, I quite love you as well. And it was growing, this nice relationship beginning, and we're going along with this relationship. And it was fine, right? But after I got sorted out a bit, because I was a bit of a pickle when I got saved, right? But after I was sorted out, I was all like, dynamic woman. I was like, come on, God, here am I, send me. Bring it on. I want to do great things. I don't want to compromise. Right, so I toddled off to get trained to be super minister, change the world, get everybody saved woman. I'm still in that process at the moment. God's got a lot to do. But so I start that. And then all the flipping other people who love Jesus ruins it for me. Absolutely ruins it. I'd gone to Bible college and everything. 1 year married. I mean, we were keen, living in a little room. Oh, anyway, so we were fine, like fine with the lectures, tell me everything, I want to know everything. But come to the Friday, there was like 20 of us doing this special section, come to the Friday night finance meeting when we haven't got a pastor to tell us what to do and we have to work it out and everybody wants to be the leader and everybody's got an opinion and you would avoid that meeting if it wasn't for the fact that you got your 20 quid pocket money at that meeting. You had to go. And all that would happen is all that was in me would be exposed. And God's like, you want to do great things, Lisa? I got to work in you. Maybe you don't want to do great things for God, but maybe when you signed up to follow him, when you realized how much he'd done for you, you're like, yeah, I want you to use me in some way. And like, he takes us seriously like that, but he has to do this process of change. Sometimes we think we need an encounter with God. Sometimes that moment with God when he just tells you what your future's all about and what's going on right now. But often I think what we really need is an encounter with ourselves to actually see where we really are. And the truth is, it's not to make us feel bad. It's because then we can stand before God and honestly say, look, I'm not superhuman. I've got all this going on. I didn't think I had that attitude in this issue, but I know I'm not going to be that useful to you if I'm carrying all this stuff around. And it's like, here I am. This is who I am. And he goes, okay, great. You've had a look in the mirror. Let's start from here. And he can make our lives more and more productive. God is like that. You know, if you feel the heat when you are around other people, you know, in church on a Sunday can be fine because you can do the smiley bit, can't you? And then go. Connect group gets a bit hairier because they ask questions sometimes or they can just see the look on your face. It's a great song called Mardi Bum. Have you ever heard it? It's brilliant. Anyway, it's by the Arctic Monkeys and it talks about people who can be lovely sometimes and then they have their Mardi day. Sometimes when people see you on your Mardi day, you know, that's when you're working out the love with one another. And I loved our Connect group. Honestly, I don't think I've laughed so much in ages. Honestly, they had me crying with laughter. And it was just because we were talking about life. Really good. But that's where you work it all out. I am digressing now. But really, if you want to grow in God, it will be amongst the people of God. It will be in working out this command, love one another. But it is so possible with the grace and goodness of God. The final place I'm going to talk about today, the environment where you can see accelerated growth, it is called the compost heap. Oh, yes, the compost heap. It is amazing in life and in gardening and crops and things like that. How? Way there. The addition, no, it's a wonder, how animal waste and yesterday's potato peelings can take a crop from standard to abundant. It really is. The difficulties that you face in your life right now might suggest that you are on the compost heap of life, or certainly that you've had a good digging round you. But actually, sometimes those situations are the things that you need to grow. To really grow. Paul said when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you, because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Your faith is growing. Your faith is flourishing. Your love for one another is growing. We're so proud of you. We are so proud of you. But it is in the face of difficulty and persecution where that was growing. You know, God is a rescuer and God can give wisdom. But sometimes the situations around our life are the place where we grow. It's just the place where the reality of our life with God and our drawing on him and believing in him, it's where it really grows. James was Jesus's brother, and when he was talking about difficulties and trouble in our lives, he said it's where faith is tested and endurance grows. James 1, verse 4 says this. When he's talking, I've gone a bit confused, but bear with me and we'll get it sorted in a minute. He was talking about faith being tested and how endurance grows. And then he says this, verse 4, "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing." So he talks about trouble. And when trouble comes, what we sometimes do is want to run away. But what he says, this is making you endure. So he says, "So let it grow." Have you ever thought about that? thought, I'm growing right now. Actually, I am growing right now. There are a lot of things that we don't understand. Many times, things that happen around our lives, and I'm not just talking about difficult things. I'm not talking about the biggies, although I am including those. Sometimes if you found yourself in life and you think, how have I ended up here in this situation now? Or I think I was aiming at that, but I seem to have taken a left turn and I'm sort of here. And we can find ourselves asking God, why? Why has that happened? I don't understand why that has happened. We can't always make complete sense of everything that goes on in our lives. Would you like to come to the stage? That would be beautiful. Because I'm going to go all gentle and lovely now. Are you ready for some gentle and lovely? We'll put some gentle and lovely music on and we'll go for it. But when we don't understand, you go, why am I at this point? Or why has this happened? And I know for me, before God moves me forward with him, often, and I don't always know when that's going to happen. You don't. You're just following God. But before a change happens, before maybe he gives me more responsibility, before something different, a new season of my life comes to pass, be times like that where either I'm a bit confused about what's going on in my life right there and then, because sometimes it's like God's getting you ready. He's like telling you something different's coming, but you don't realize something's coming. But there's this kind of like unsettled feeling, but you carry on doing, because God hasn't revealed yet what he's talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? So sometimes I have times like that and I find myself looking around, trying to find what it is I'm meant to know right now, but I haven't got a clue and I just get a bit agitated and confused. But just go with what I know. And I'd say in those times, just go with what you know. Just love Jesus, plug into church, plug into friendships. Keep going, he'll make it all clear. But there's other times in my life when those seasons have been coming about and things have got really, really difficult. Really, really tough. And the first one, I'm talking, but they're really proud. God wants to move us forward. He really does. I love this. John chapter 6. John knew Jesus. In his gospel, he records Jesus talking to his disciples. And Jesus didn't always explain what he meant. And he was talking about himself being the bread of life. He's like, I am the bread of life. And if you listen to that teaching in chapter 6, he's talking about eating flesh and all of this. And without any insight, at first glance, you would be forgiven for thinking it was quite barbaric what he was talking about. But he was like trying to draw people to really understand what he was going about. And it says this in verse 60 to 61. I'm going to read it with you. Verse 60. So he'd done all this teaching and it says, many of the disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? And Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. These were his disciples, the ones who knew him fairly well. So he said to them, does this offend you? He said, does this offend you? And he didn't go on to explain, oh, I'm sorry that I've offended you. Let me explain everything that I really mean right now. You know, often Jesus won't do that. Even with his teaching, we almost have to draw near, press in a little bit to discover what he's going on about. Invite the Spirit of God into our lives so that we understand spiritual things. But it's the same with our lives. Sometimes there are periods of time where he doesn't explain why. He doesn't tell you why. He doesn't explain why you're in that situation or why that has happened. And verse 66 says this. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? It's like, all them are off. And he looks at his 12 closest ones. He's like, are you jumping off now? You going? Didn't beg them to stay. Just asked them what they were going to do. And Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. God knows the bigger picture of our lives. But Peter right there was saying, you know, even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense, I know who you are. I know that you see the big picture. You have the words of eternal life. You see all of my life. You understand all the details. Often as we continue in God, he explains the things we don't understand. It becomes clearer later. Sometimes it doesn't. But I want to encourage you today that when you are in those times, that God has not forgotten about you. He knows exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. He knows you so well. He knows the way you think. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going to be at. Right there, he doesn't forget you. He's working things out as you hold on to him. But also, his love, it'll never fail you. It says nothing can separate you from God's love. But as well, I want to tell you, God is a restorer. Where things haven't turned out the way you thought, or in the way you imagined, the way you planned and prepared it to be. When you think, how can that situation ever be good in any way? God is the restorer. He is the expert at taking something that looks broken and damaged and irreparable and at making it better than ever. He does that in marriages. He does that for those that have lost everything. God is the restorer. Today, church, I'd love that we just learn to draw from him. Be encouraged that you are growing. When you face heat, you are growing. Different situations, you are growing because he is committed to your growth. I want to pray for some people now. Can we all stand for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Right now, if you are in a situation in your life and you just don't understand what's going on, or something has happened and it wasn't part of the plan, or something happened a long time ago and you still ask questions, it's something you've not been able to sort of to put to bed in your trust box with God, but you've tried. I'd love it if you could put your hand right now up right now, because I am going to pray for you specifically. Thank you, Jesus. There's lots of hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Father, I thank you, God, that you know all things and you see all things. Father, I thank you right now. You know the specific thing that is in everybody's mind, the thought that they are bringing to you right now. Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, you will bless and that you will help each one. Father, I thank you, and I just declare and prophesy that you are restorer, that you know all things. Lord, when things are hidden from our sight, when it makes no sense, God, Father, that in your eyes it makes sense. Father, that you are the one who can take what is broken and damaged and make it as good as new. Father, I pray for restoration. Right now, for everyone, I pray where there's damage left from what's happened, I pray for restoration. Father, I pray for people who just need guidance right now, for people who are thinking, it wasn't meant to be like this, God. Father, I pray for some guidance. I pray for some wisdom. And most of all, I pray for every single one in this room, Lord, a knowledge of your unfailing love, that you have the words of eternal life. That you are not going anywhere. You are the source and having you everything that we need. Father, as each one of us asks you specifically for the things we need in our lives, I thank you, God, that you're not going to leave us short. And Father, I thank you, you are growing us up. I pray for this church, God, that we will continue to grow in our relationship with you, that our confidence, our hope will be firmly placed in the one whose love never fails. And Father, that we will see a growing congregation of people also coming to know the reality of a God who is good and a God who holds us. Everybody said, Amen. Amen. I am going to disappear in 1 second. It'll be like magic. You'll close your eyes, I'll be gone. But before I do that, right now, I stand here with an invitation from God. Right now, me with the red hair, simple as I am, I have an invitation from God. If you do not know this God that I am talking about, If you don't know the one who has the words of eternal life, I tell you today, he is real and he made you and he knows you and he is longing for you to begin this relationship with him. If you would like to take a step in knowing him today, I ask you right now, put your hand up high so that I can see it. I am not going to embarrass you, but I don't want you to miss this invitation right now. So after three, one, two, three. I am looking because I don't want to miss anyone. Incredible. I don't see any hands today, but if that is burning in your heart, grab me before I go because I would love to tell you more. Thank you, God. Let's give God an incredible clap because he's great, isn't he?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.